ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Read from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, text 20. Na jayate mriyate va kadachin. Na jayate mriyate va kadachin.
Na jayate mriyate va kadachin.
Na yam bhutva bhavitava na bhuyaha. Na yam bhutva bhavitava na bhuyaha. Acho nitya shashvato yam purano. Acho nitya shashvato yam purano. Na hanyate hanyamane sarire. Na hanyate hanyamane sarire. Never. Jayate takes birth. Mriyate dies. Va either. Kadachit at any time. Past, present, or future. Na never. Ayam this. Bhutva having come into being. Bhavita will come to be. Va or na not. Buyaha or is again coming to be. Achaha unborn. Nityaha eternal. Shashvataha permanent. Ayam this. Purana the oldest. Na never. Hanyate is killed. Hanyamane being killed. Sharire the body. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. For the soul there is neither birth nor death at any time. He has not come into being, does not come into being, and will not come into being. Is unborn, eternal, ever-existing, and primeval, is not slain, and the body is slain. Purport. Qualitatively, the small atomic fragmental part of the Supreme Spirit is one with the Supreme. He undergoes no changes like the body. Sometimes the soul is called the steady, or kuttastha. The body is subject to six kinds of transformations. It takes its birth from the womb of the mother's body. That's the first, taking birth. Remains for some time. Second, grows and produces some effects or byproducts, children, etc. Gradually dwindles, getting older. Old ages are coming. And at last vanishes into oblivion, that means dead. The soul, however, does not go through such changes. The soul is not born, but because it takes on a material body, the body takes its birth. The soul does not take birth there, and the soul does not die. Anything which has birth also has death. And because the soul has no birth, he therefore has no past, present, or future. He is eternal, ever-existing, and primeval. That is, there is no trace in history of his coming into being. Under the impression of the body, we seek the history of birth, etc., of the soul. The soul does not at any time become old as the body does. The so-called old man therefore feels himself to be in the same spirit as in his childhood or youth. The changes of the body do not affect the soul. Means he still is the same inside, although externally changing. The soul does not deteriorate like a tree, nor anything material. The soul has no byproduct either. It doesn't create children. The byproducts of the body, namely children, are also different individual souls, and owing to the body, they appear as children of a particular man. The body develops because of the soul's presence, but the soul has neither offshoots nor change. Therefore, the soul is free from the six changes of the body. In the Katha Upanishad 1-18, we also find a similar passage which reads, Najayate mriyateva vipaschin nayam kutaschinna babhuva kaschit ajo nitya shashvato yam purano nahanyate hanyamane sharire. The meaning and purport of this verse is the same as in the Bhagavad Gita, but here in this verse there is one special word, vipaschit, which means learned or with knowledge. The soul is full of knowledge or full always in consciousness or with consciousness. Therefore, consciousness is the symptom of the soul. Even if one does not find the soul within the heart where he is situated, one can still understand the presence of the soul simply by the presence of consciousness. Sometimes we do not find the sun in the sky owing to clouds or for some other reason. But the light of the sun is always there, and we are convinced that it is therefore daytime. As soon as there is a little light in the sky, early in the morning, we can understand that the sun is in the sky. Similarly, since there is some consciousness in all bodies, whether man or animal, we can understand the presence of the soul. This consciousness of the soul is, however, different from the consciousness of the Supreme, because the Supreme Consciousness is all knowledge, past, present, and future. The consciousness of the individual soul is prone to be forgetful. When he is forgetful of his real nature, he obtains education and enlightenment from the superior lessons of Krishna. But Krishna is not like the forgetful soul. If so, Krishna's teachings of Bhagavad Gita would be useless. There are two kinds of souls, namely the minute particle soul, Anu Atma, and the super soul, Vibhu Atma. This is also confirmed in the Katha Upanishad 1-20. In this way, Anoraniyan Mahato Mahiyan Atmasya Chanto Nihito Guhayam Tam Akratu Pashyati Vita Shoko Tatu Prasadam Mahimanam Atmanaha. Both the super soul, Paramatma, and the atomic soul, Jivatma, are situated on the same tree of the body within the same heart of the living being. And only one who has become free from all material desires as well as lamentations can, by the grace of the Supreme, understand the glories of the soul. Krishna is the fountainhead of the super soul also, as it will be disclosed in the following chapters, and Arjuna is the atomic soul, forgetful of his real nature. Therefore, he requires to be enlightened by Krishna or by his bona fide representative, the spiritual master. Achayate mriyate vakata chin Ayam Bhutva Bhavita Vana Puyaha Achonitya Shashvato Yam Purano Nahanyate Animani Sarire. For the soul that is neither birth nor death, at any time he has not come into being, does not come into being, and will not come into being, is unborn, eternal, ever existing, and primeval, is not slain when the body is slain.
Omakya Timaranyasya Gananchana Salakyam Chakshurun Miritam Yena Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manopistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakatamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Ancha Kalpa Trupya Cha Kripa Sindhaveva Cha Patitanam Pavanepya Vaishnavepya Namo Namaha Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahoditao Gaudataya Pushpavanto Chitta Shanto Tamonadao He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandha Jagapate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasa Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Now that's a very important verse from the Bhagavad Gita, one of the key verses. Many often used by Prabhupada or by the preachers to explain of the immortality of the soul. It's not a belief, it is not some myth or anything theoretical. It comes from Shruti. Krishna is the supreme cause of Shruti from Vedic literature. Vedas are Shruti, so one has to hear it. If we want to know about father, we have to learn from mother. Prabhupada many times told, we cannot find out on our own about our cause and who we actually are. As Krishna explains later on in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 16th chapter, there are two kinds of mentalities in this world, of the embodied living entities, the jivas. Those were theistic and those were atheistic. Sura and asura. It's a conception. It's a mentality. So those were sworn atheists. They don't believe in Shastra, they don't believe in the statements of the scriptures and of the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the revealed scriptures. They deny, because they only accept what they see, not belief, or just by hearing something from scripture without proof. Although many times they also don't have real proof. Therefore they have so many theories. So many theories. Actually scientists have only theories. But the theories that by their word juggleries, they presented in such a way that ultimately it is accepted it must be the truth. We have to have faith in the scientists. What they say. Although it's actually always theory, and always there's somebody else who makes a new theory. And then one theorist, his theory, who defeated other theories, he dies, and then another one will be born who establishes another theory. There's always such kind of man in this world. Tako pratishta shrutayo vibina. Nashaurishir yasam matam nabinam. Dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhayam mahachana yena kathasa panta. The Mahabharata states, actually this verse is spoken by Yudhisthira Maharaj, his father, Yamaraj tested him one time, and he asked him the question, you know, about Dharma. What is Dharma? And where we can find Dharma? So Yudhishthira, Maharaj, he says, Dharma cannot be found by the mental speculators, by the speculators, by the mundane word jugglers and wranglers. It's not possible, because they, by their scientific research, by intellect and mind, they establish so many theories, and then these theories become defeated by another muni or sage who establish another theory, and ultimately they never come to a conclusion, because on the material platform there is no unity, as we know. There's always diversity, there's always duality, so there can be no unity on the material platform. Unity is only possible on the spiritual platform. Material platform not, because material platform is duality. It's sat and asat. That means it's that what is real and that what is unreal. So in the material world, because it's an illusory concept, the material nature, although it's also real, it has a reality, because it comes also from the Supreme Lord. But as we can observe, everything is all the time changing. Therefore also the conceptions of the mundane philosophers and scientists are also always changing, because it is only on the mental or material platform where there always is everything changing. But Shruti, or what comes from Krishna, what comes from Veda, Veda means knowledge, Shruti, it's not changing. Sometimes some they argue, but Bhagavad Gita is not as old as you claim, 5,000 years old. Or the Vedas, or Puranas, some Puranas there were written later. It doesn't matter, because the truth is always the truth, and the untruth is always untruth. It's not that untruth one time will become the truth, but that's actually happened today. In Kali Yuga, untruth becomes truth. The cheat becomes reality. It becomes the law. You have to all believe it and follow it. Otherwise, you are not modern man. You're not modern man. You stay in the Puranic time. Old man. Old time. You're old. From the Stone Age. But we are modern men. Modern men. We know we have to believe. We have to follow that what is the trend now. What the scientist is giving us. But you know, there were so many scientists. You know, we are all gone. There are all many names. And nobody is in union with each other. All different have opinions. I only have the same opinion saying, you know, there's no God. And there's no soul. And life ultimately is useless. Doesn't make sense, you know. Because there's no soul, and there's no goal of life. So therefore this, like Krishna tells in the Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter, the materialistic, demoniac, conditioned soul embodied in this material world thinks that this material life is all temporary. It is, I would say, born by chance. And it is only meant for ultimately have sex life, enjoying, to take birth, to grow up, get an education, stay for some time. And then gradually dwindling away, getting old, and then die again. And then the next will come. will do the same again and again. One time, Hiranyakashipu, great atheist, as we know, he took his son Prahlad on his lap because he sent him to Gurukula. So he was wondering, my dear son, what is the best thing that you have learned in the school? What is the best thing? So Prahlad Maharaj says, you know, Matirna Krishne Parataksvato va mito pibhadyeta grihavratanam Adanta gobir vishatam tamishram punak punas charvita charvananam. My dear father, personalities like you who are sworn atheists, Matirna Krishne, whose intelligence or mind is not focused on Krishna, who don't show faith or interest in Krishna, Matirna Krishne, Parataksvatova midopi pyadeta grihavratanam. They have, because they take the vow of materialistic household life, to enjoy material life, family, and business, and so on. Only thinking about that, that they only have interest and absorbing their mind in that, not in Krishna. And so therefore, ultimately, these kind of people, because they don't show interest in Krishna, they're all only building on the temporary materialistic activities that everyone is doing in the past, now, and also in the future, because they don't learn something new. Everyone is copying what the others did. Therefore, everyone follows more or less always the same, just in different ways, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And so in this way, they're chewing the jute again and again. Punak punak charvita charvananam. They're chewing the jute again and again and again. Even if there's no more Jews in it, in the process of materialism, of mundane sense gratification, still they try to enjoy it. And that's the camel-like and the ass-like and the animalistic tendency of the embodied living entity who is blind, you know, Matirna Krishne, Natevidu Svarta Gatim Hi Vishnu. They're blind for Vishnu Gati. So Bhagavad Gita is and Vedic literature is meant for devotees. Vedanta Sutra by Srila Vyasadeva, they're meant for devotees. Although jnanis and impersonalists and materialists, they try to take Vedanta Sutra for their own purpose. But they only will become confused because they will not understand Vedanta Sutra. So Vedanta Sutras we have to learn from the personality who is a devotee, who has a realization of Vedic knowledge. Because Vedanta is based on Upanishads and Shruti. And it is meant to give knowledge for the devotees, or for the personality, for the jnani, for those who are freed from materialistic sense gratification. To give them a proper understanding, proper direction, and proper knowledge about the eternity of the soul, and about the super soul, the Paramatma, and about the supreme goal, to go back home, back to Godhead, to go to the spiritual world, where you either become, if you have a desire to live impersonal, you will become a light particle in the Brahmajyoti. And if you have a desire to be a person and to serve the Lord according to His desire in a specific way in the spiritual world, then the Lord will give you this opportunity. So the jiva has this desire, and the desire is revealed, or how say, fulfilled by the supersoul within the heart. So the living entity ultimately only will become happy and satisfied and comes to real knowledge if one establishes one's relationship with the Supreme Lord again. This is the goal of Vedanta. This is the goal of all Vedic liturgies, to establish our eternal relationship and service with the Lord. Because that's our tendency. We are not meant just to enjoy material sense gratification and live an aimless life without a higher goal. So therefore the conclusion of Vedanta is, Vedanta is only meant for those devotees who have an interest in licking the honey from the Lord Krishna's or Lord Govinda's lotus feet. Others, they cannot understand. They will become bewildered. Only for a devotee who has a faith in Govinda, in Krishna, in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for them Vedic knowledge is revealed within the heart. Yasya deve parabhakti yata deve yata gurau. That's also stated in the Upanishads that we have to have simultaneously faith in Guru and in Krishna, and then this Vedic knowledge will become established in our heart. It cannot become established within the senses or in the material temporary body, because the body has no awareness, it has no knowledge. The soul has knowledge, it has awareness, it is consciousness. The proof is, when the soul is out of the body, it's considered dead. The same body is still here, but it's not moving anymore, there's no emotions anymore, there's no more life symptoms, there's no more consciousness. You cannot have rasa with the dead body. So why we had rasa, why we had a relationship with somebody? Because in that body there was a soul. Because only as Prabhupada in the beginning of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is pointing out, only if there is rasa, that means relationship, then we can actually be considered alive. And rasa is between the same species of life, between humans and humans, between certain animals and other animals. There are so many other animals that have no rasa together. A dog with a monkey has no rasa. The only rasa is barking and chasing after each other. There's no other rasa. There's no rasa of love and affection and friendship. That's not possible in the animalistic platform. But human beings, they have rasa with other human beings. And therefore we can also have a rasa with the Supreme Being, with the Supreme Consciousness, with the Supreme Person, and that is Krishna. And to establish this rasa with the Supreme Lord, who is rasa personified, the reservoir of all rasas, then we can actually become really happy and be stable and steady in our, according to our real nature. Of Svarupena yoga. Yoga means to be fixed with our mind or in our Svarup of the spirit soul in eternal service of the Lord. This is the ultimately what is pointed out, what is the teachings of the scriptures, what is the teaching by Krishna, by the spiritual master. And by developing our faith in this way, we can come to our real consciousness. The consciousness, because soul is always conscious, even in deep sleep. in all the stages. The soul is always conscious. Only the senses and the mind, they need rest. And the soul, if it is liberated, it is also doesn't need a rest. It is always conscious. It is not covered by ignorance. So only in the material creation, the soul, the jiva, becomes covered by the ignorance, by avidya, and considers himself a product of this material nature, although he is not. That's stated by, in the seventh chapter of the first canto. How Srila Vyasadeva was meditating about Absolute Truth. And then he saw the Absolute Truth, the Paramapurusha, and he saw Maya behind him, like a shadow, not coming near to him, not being in touch with him. And then he saw the living entities, the jiva, and who are completely under the control, influence of this shadow energy of Maya. And therefore, Srila Vyasadeva, he understood the living entity's identification with the shadow of Maya is actually an illusion. And it is this illusion what causes him to suffer, to be afraid, to feel fear, to suffer, to enjoy, to suffer. And if the soul is freed from this avidya, from this different conception of life, lust, greed, anger, fear, illusion, then he comes to his original consciousness of the soul. And even if the soul has his consciousness, but he doesn't understand to whom the consciousness should be related, then we stay again in the material world somewhere. So just to understand that we are eternal, it's not sufficient. It's only the beginning. It's the ABC. Then ultimately we have to realize we are eternal, yes, but now what should I do eternally? Actually, many are afraid of this eternal factor, because we think what I will do eternally. Therefore, they prefer better to die all the time, because then I have always a new identification, always is something new, changing. But it's a lot of suffering, happiness sometimes, suffering again, mixture of both. So one is afraid about the concept of eternity. As long as we don't understand the eternal nature of Krishna, and about that Krishna and the personality of Krishna is also varieties. There's enjoyment, there's rasa, there is relationships, and different kinds of relationships. There's so many leelas, so many pastimes. Material world, we're also going in some kind of leelas, our own mundane leelas, but they're mostly boring and very miserable. Of course, for somebody who has sense gratification as the center, it's for him always interesting. But for somebody who wants to, who's fried from this material sense gratification, who is a who has enough of just enjoying the senses, temporary things, and always going through this misery and again a little happiness, then they will take firm shelter in the process given by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, in surrendering unto him. Arjuna was in this duality. The duality was that he thought, if I will fight here, and I will kill so many respectable personalities like Bhishma, Drona, teachers like that, and superiors like grandfather Bhishma, grandsire of our dynasty. So he was very much afraid. He was very concerned. A great sin will come over us if we kill all these respectable personalities, and what will happen with the wives and with the children of all the soldiers who fall, who die on the battlefield? So he was greatly concerned that there will become a great disorder in the society. And he took his arguments reasonable from different shastras, like the Arma Shastra, Artha Shastra, but not on the level of Veda, of knowledge, coming from the Shruti, and from the Smriti, and from Purana, and from Vedanta Sutra, not this kind of knowledge, social behavior knowledge. So it was very reasonable, but Krishna, he didn't accept it. Because he wanted to teach Arjuna through Arjuna the future person, devotees who want to come in contact with Krishna, how to act properly on the level of knowledge coming from Veda, not on some social knowledge of behavior. This is secondary. It is stated even if somebody is not behaving properly, but he is a devotee, then that is more important. Because somebody who becomes a devotee, later on the qualities of proper behavior will automatically become manifested in him. This is a verse actually quoted by Prahlad Maharaj. A devotee naturally has many good qualities. And somebody who has no devotion, he cannot have actually good qualities. So the main quality is Krishna Sharanam, Krishnaika Sharanam, taking shelter in Krishna, and following Krishna's instruction, Krishna's guidelines. And Krishna's guidelines are not whimsical, because Krishna plays now, the Guru is now playing on the world like an ordinary human being, but he is accepting the role of Guru on the request of Arjuna. So he's quoting Shastra, higher statements of the scriptures, to give Arjuna and us proper direction how to follow scriptural statements. You cannot argue the scripture, because they give us the truth. Tarko Pratishtha Shrutayo Vibhina, as already quoted. A material platform, there is no unity, but if we are accepting the knowledge coming from Veda, from Krishna, then this is real unity. This is unity with the Lord. This is yoga. That's actually the meaning of yoga, to connect with the Lord and accepting the Lord's opinion, the Lord's knowledge, and take this to our heart. The soul is situated within the heart, not in the head, not in the ear, not in the nose, not in one part of your favorite part of the body. It's situated in the soul, within the heart. Proof is when Shastra gives a statement, a story of Daksha, when Daksha's head was cut off, then still Daksha was living, even with the gold head. The Daksha consciousness was still there, as the soul of the Daksha didn't leave the body, by the mercy of Lord Shiva, and he got the transcendental knowledge how to continue with his Daksha consciousness and ultimately become Daksha again in next life. Now the question is only what happens if the heart is taken out and another heart is put in. That means the heart of somebody who left the body, that means that soul is gone. And the heart is just a muscle. And it is transplanted in a new body. That means the soul of the body was still alive, is still there. And it is very tiny, it is antimaterial, therefore the scientists cannot find it out. Even if the 10,000th part of the hair actually could be figured out by modern technology, but they cannot see it because it is spiritual chit shakti. That means it's spiritual energy. Because the soul is an eternal part and parcel of Krishna, it's our nature to go in a relationship with Him. And we cannot be happy to give enjoyment to other bodies in this material world because this is not responding with our real nature as to give pleasure to Krishna. So ultimately Krishna wants to teach us through Arjuna to work not for our gratification or work according to our whims, but act under statements of scriptures, because a statement of scriptures is a torchlight who shows us the way in which direction to go. We will never fail, we will never go wrong or in the wrong way, and we will never act improperly if we are accepting the guidelines given by the scriptures. As Krishna also is pointing out in the 16th chapter, and if you have no faith in the scriptures, na shastra vidim usricha, if you don't have faith in the revealed scriptures, then you will become misled. You become irritated. You fall more deeper and deeper in this material ignorance. So therefore, Shastra is meant to bring us out, to come first to our real nature as a soul, spirit soul, that we make this distinction, that what is matter, what is spirit, what is eternal, what is temporary. And then we realize the soul. Although the soul now in the condition stage is like a diamond covered by dust or by so much earth and impurities, but if this is removed from the diamond, it naturally has an effulgence from itself. It's not coming from another source. That means the soul itself has an effulgence. It has consciousness, it has life. So the example is given of the diamond or a crystal who is covered, but if this covering is removed, then it becomes naturally effulgent and pure as it is. That's the nature. Another example what is given is that the soul is situated in one place, in the body. It's an example of chandana, sandalwood. The fragrance, even if you put one drop of sandalwood fragrance in one part of your body, what will happen? It gives pleasure to the whole body. Although it is only in one part. So the example is given, like this sandalwood, this drop of sandalwood, oil is put in one place, the whole body will become pleased, is pleased by this beautiful fragrance. So in the same way, the soul is situated in one place, and as long as the soul is present, the whole body is pleasant. If the soul is out of the body, the body becomes useless. Just like a brick or a piece of wood, not movable anymore. So the consciousness is important. And although situated in one place, it stays there, it is therefore steady, as long the body is here. And if the body is changed, like we're changing dress, to accept a new dress, and we go to another body, and then again to another body, that means we take the subtle body with us. The subtle body, mind, the senses, sense objects, we take with us. The soul takes, as long the soul is conditioned or attached in the material world, we have to take the subtle body with us. That means we are conditioned souls, bada. The liberated soul ultimately devours, gives up the material body and also the subtle body and the senses. And then the soul is completely free. Then we only have a desire where to go, either Brahmajyoti or Vaikuntha or to Goloka. This is direction given by the scriptures, by Guru, and if one has a good fortune, we will accept this knowledge, make the best out of it, and let ourselves be guided from within, from the super soul, from outside, from Guru, from the scriptures, from Vaishnavas, sadhus, and in this way going in the proper direction towards Krishna. And if we go to Krishna, Krishna will give us a spiritual body from the same energy he has from the Chit Shakti, an eternal spiritual body. Now the soul is very tiny, but in the spiritual world, if you become an associate of Krishna, by Krishna's grace, a spiritual body you will receive, who is suitable to serve Krishna in one of the rasas you actually aspired for. In the eternal service of Krishna. And it is stated, if we are established there in the spiritual world, one never comes down. Then we will not take birth again in this material world. So, Hare Krishna. I stop here. Any question? So today, not so long, like last time, 2 hours. Yeah.
What's the status of soul in case of heart transplant?
What?
In case of heart transplant, what is the status of the soul?
The soul stays.
In which body?
It stays. It will not. Because if the heart becomes useless, like you're giving up your old car, you break apart. And you're buying a new car. So but you stay the same, So with the heart also the same, or with the body the same. So that means when the heart is not functioning anymore, then the soul still remains there in your body. When the new heart is in, it again goes in there.
Art is the place where soul lives.
Yeah, that's the way. That's how it is described. Even if the heart is moved out on the exchange, the soul will find a place for the moment, and then enters that heart again, the new heart again. It will not stay in your head or in your nose. They can leave through mouth or through ear, through eyes or hole here.
So is this soul is having only one place to go? Any part of body will die,
Most people, as you say, live through the mouth. The yogi is from Brahmandra. Therefore, what the yogis are doing, they seal all the openings of the body. With some mantras, with some mystic mantras, they receive from their guru, from their yoga shastras, and with their mystical power, they can close so that practically the soul is forced to leave from the Brahmandra. From this Brahma.
It's called Brahmastha.
Brahmastha, yeah. So it leaves from here, from that hole, from the head. So that it cannot leave it from any other, not from the eyes, not from ear, not from mouth, not from genitals or anus.
But the permanent place is to reside for the soul is to
hide.
Fixed place is
right,
but a soul is too hard.
Yeah, that's what Vedanta Sutra says, what all the Shastras say. Upanishads, the soul is situated within the heart. This is definitely accepted. It's not somewhere else. And it's not a soul who is all penetrating. Some philosophers, you know, they claim, you know, that there's only one soul, but this. And the soul is everywhere. And everywhere is the same soul. No. But this is foolish, you know, because if everyone has the same soul, you know, then how we can make rasa with each other? That means we are all individuals. We have individual qualities and ways of life and the pleasant nature. So that we can engage in the service of the Lord. And that he actually relishes. And that also what others are relishing, you know, in the people, you know, if they're all the same, it will become boring and become a robot.
It's like nature is same, soul is nature is same, but characteristics are different, right?
Characteristics, same is, the soul is the same by the nature. But we have different characteristics, and there is not one soul the same, and every soul is individual. It's tiny, and only in the spiritual world you receive a spiritual body. Then, so spiritual body is not here now. It's only the tiny spirit soul. And when we go there, we receive a spiritual body by Krishna's mercy.
You explain about truth remains truth always.
What?
Truth always remains truth.
Yeah, always. Therefore, it's not different. The problem if the Shastra is 5,000 years old or yesterday or.
There is no sun.
Sun. Sun. Surya. There is no Surya.
They pass the resolution. But the existence of sun will always remain.
Yeah, you can define, you can say, no, there is no sun, there is no sun.
You say that truth never depend on somebody's belief.
Our Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the story of the, how many blind men? Five or six blind men who want to find out what is an elephant. one blind man, you know, he touches the elephant and he concludes, oh, it's very hard and strong.
Like
a snake, other one like a fan. Like a sword, you know. Well, ultimately, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says we cannot define what is an elephant with our blind senses. With our blind senses, we cannot define. That means we only imagine what it could be. So we cannot. So he wants to prove, you know. So we need the proper eyes, the proper understanding. And this we can only get through Shruti or through the scriptures, revealed by the Lord and by the given to us by the spiritual master. This is actually Siddhanta from our process here.
What they are saying is it's true, but it's partial truth. What the blind man were touching this elephant body in different parts. And
it's all true, but it's only partial truth. It's not the absolute truth. Hare Krishna.
When you said that soul never dies, from one body is going to another body. So, whatever the activities we are doing, it is done by the soul, according to your karma, you get the next body, you say. So, the soul is doing those things, or the body is doing, or some other part of the intelligence or something who is doing this activities, whatever the activities are going on.
So I understand soul as long the soul is maintains desire to stay in the material world, to be the enjoyer himself and the doer, then he always will go with his subtle body, as already mentioned, with his subtle body, he will always go in one body to one body, you know, where he can fulfill his desire according to karma. In the spiritual world there's no more karma. As long as we have karma, we cannot enter the spiritual world. Only if this karma is destroyed by bhakti, then we can enter in the spiritual world. But as long the spirit soul is desirous for selfish motivations and has to accept one body after another with his subtle body. It takes his same subtle body he always takes with him. But his subtle body is also not eternal. It's also it's material. It's a material product. If you read Sankhya philosophy from Lord Kapiladev, third canto, the subtle nature is also asat. It's not sat. It's not a. It's not a spiritual by nature. And only if you develop this bhakti is like a fire. Destroys and burns the subtle body, with all its desires and ideas. And different kinds of karma since many, many lifetimes. You know, we have two kinds of karma, prarabdha and aparabdha. So that's all become destroyed by bhakti. There's no other way, not by jnana, not by yoga, not by sankhya, nor by cultivating knowledge, or by accepting sannyas, or by giving in charity. Not possible.
Prabhupada gave example just like that.
Sorry. It's okay.
Prabhupada says for the soul, the food for the soul is the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. When we give this food to the soul, then we are free from all other karmas and other things.
Ultimately, yes. As long as you chant. The goal is Kirtaniya Sadhari, to always chant. So in the time you're chanting, you're liberated. Therefore, should never stop satatam kirtayantamam. Always going on chanting. That's the goal. And always remember about Krishna, never forget him. And there's 9 processes. Yeah. Sometimes we chant, but we are not so much conscious in chanting. Falling half asleep, we're dreaming, thinking about so many other things during chanting, contemplating in the name of chanting. So chanting always is needed consciousness also. We have to be conscious about what we chant. Although chanting itself is perfect, it's a perfect process, but as the higher sages from, where is it, Tapaloka or Chanaloka, there are some sages there, you know, who are like the Nava Yogendras. Then Gop Kumar, this is described in the Priya Bhagavatamrita, reached that world, you know. Gop Kumar always was in search, he always wanted to find out where is Gopal, where is my Lord, Krishna from Vrindavan. He was looking after him. And then the sages there ask him, why are you always looking for Krishna outside? Krishna is also in you, he's in your heart, he's everywhere. And they told him that that is more important to meditate about Krishna than to just worship him. Because if you are worshipping but your consciousness is not there, then it is as you would not do this activity, as you never did it, because it's just like a fan, you know. You're fanning Krishna, this fan is also a fan in Krishna. Yeah. But the difference between us and this fan is we have consciousness. But if we don't use our consciousness, you know, to be Krishna conscious and also only be like a fan unconscious, then we just do the ritual of fanning. It has some benefit, but it has not the same powerful effect as when the consciousness is also included in the process of chanting and in any devotional service activities. The consciousness has to be there. It's not that we do something in bhakti yoga process, but consciousness is somewhere else. This is actually a very important factor, that we always keep the consciousness fixed on Krishna. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says that based on Lord Chaitanya's teachings, that amongst all the rules and regulations, there are 2 main rules. Always to remember Krishna is the first one, and to never forget him is the second one. And to do that, you know, we have so many processes, you know, who help us to fulfill these 2 main rules. That means one must and one don't. Rules and regulation means one must and one don't. Because every rule and regulation has musts, you have to do it, and don't do it. Understand? So there are so many musts and so many don'ts. But basically, it's only one must and one don't. Understand? Must, always remember Krishna, and don't forget him. It's the Nisheda, the Vidi and the Nisheda. Yeah.
What is the form we receive in the spiritual world? Is that different from the form in the heart?
Yeah, it's different. What means the form in the heart? Your form.
Yeah.
You have a form in the heart?
Well, you said we receive in the spiritual world. So
yeah, this, in the spirit.
No,
because now the souls. The soul is a 10,000th part of the tip of the hair. That means it's very tiny and is conscious. That means we have no spiritual body now in ourselves. The spiritual body will become developed, or we will receive through the bhakti process. But through the bhakti process, when you are liberated, when you go to Krishna. From there the body will become given to you, will become revealed to you. Now you don't have a spiritual body. Yeah, the form is 10,000 tip of a hair.
It does have form.
Yeah, it has consciousness. You know, it's situated in one part of the body. No, but it's from the top to the bottom. It the soul is conscious and aware about it. Like the sun is fixed in one place, but the light is everywhere. Right. That means the awareness is there, the consciousness is there from the soul.
The soul is eternal, Satchitananda, fragmental.
Yeah, the soul is Satchitananda Vigraha.
We have our eternal form.
Yeah, this spiritual spark is covered by Maya. That's his consciousness, you know. But if you go to the spiritual world, this spiritual form will become revealed there. And you can already, aspire for this here by bhakti process. Okay. Hare Krishna, glory to Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Ki Jai.